Well, hey, Laba! Hop in our monkey-navigated time machine, because it's time for Shabby Super Segments, where we visit the shady past of the Shabby Road Record Show by retrieving some of our favorite segments from seasons of yore. We've been blessed with some great guests on the show, so we thought we would celebrate a couple of them. First off, our pal Neil Merriweather drops by to tell us about the time he threw spitballs into Cher's wig. Neil is a shabby icon. What a thrill it was to have him on our show. If you like amazing stories about Janis Joplin, David Bowie, Mick Ronson, Mark Bolan, Billy Joel, check out the whole thing, available only on our website these days, shabbyroadrecordshow.com. Look for episode 90, 50 Shades of A. Following that, another unforgettable moment, this time provided by our pal Steven Seaborg, who dropped by in season 4, episode 119, Swedes Don't Yodel. He spun a track from a very cool Pink Floyd-sounding band and album that I love, but this episode quickly devolves into a spirited discussion on the band's name, Airbag, resulting in one of the all-time shabby crack-ups. We will return again next week with an all-new episode, so sit back and enjoy these super segments. If you'd like to hang out with AD and me, we are on the road all summer long playing with Louis Prima Jr. It has been great meeting a bunch of listeners this summer. It's been just fantastic. So join that rarefied air of people that have had a beer and a shot with me and AD while we wore three-piece suits. I'm looking at you, Washington, D.C., New York City, Boston, Bayshore, New York, Lyndhurst, New Jersey. You're all coming up later this month in August, so check out LouisPrimaJr.com for all the details. All right, before the monkey presses the start button, let's give a nod to alltheworldsastage.net for sponsoring us. These days, we're all celebrities. Warhol was right. Everybody gets 15 minutes of fame. So you need merch! Capitalize on that fleeting moment when you become the apple of Facebook's eye. T-shirts, hats, pins, pogs, posters, pampers, potholders, cornholders, card holders, card readers. Ugh, sorry, my 15 minutes of fame are nearly up, so I gotta hurry. Alltheworldsastage.net for all your printing needs. Save 10%, shabby listener, just by saying my name. Somebody, please remember me. Now, on with the show.
You actually have little boxes. I can't believe it.
Yeah, see, this is my daughter drew on it. So yeah. she did all the artwork on it.
Yeah, my grandson did.
Which, by the way, you know, brings up you're an artist as well. So we should probably talk a little bit about your art that you've been doing. Some amazing stuff, and
it's and funny
where we could see it. You know what? You know,
well, it's funny because the tape boxes wherever I worked were just completely covered in my crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and when I ran out of space, I made things like a coffee cup. I turned it into like a glasses thing with a pig nose. And, you know, every once in a while, somebody would be Pig Man.
I think around here that would when probably we did be the, me.
That happened when I was doing Lita Ford. For some reason, there were pigs in the room. Anyway.
Now, to clarify, when you...
By doing...
When, yeah, so we need to clarify that term, yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Recording with her.
Because we will start rumors.
I produced her, yes. Managed her, and did her first album.
Yeah.
Then the pig did her thing. the cloven hooves held the knife there.
Cloven Hooves is the name of my new metal band. If you
wow.
Know.
I'm going to be in that band, too. Right.
Cloven Hooves.
Yeah. You can be a bum steer.
That's
and
right.
I'll be a cloven hooves.
Right.
They were double bill.
We're going to walk out of here today with six side projects,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the singer is double bill.
He's a big
He's a large
guy.
Man. You know?
Big, huge guy.
Well, I brought, of course...
He plays a double neck.
I, of course...
And he's utterly...
Oh, but I'll boom, she get a right. Rim shot for that one.
All right, no surprise here, I brought Kryptonite.
Ah!
Neil Merriweather, Space Rangers, Kryptonite.
My God, gasp.
So,
this is a must-have album.
This is definitely an essential record here. Yeah. This is the second of the two Space Rangers era, so...
Era.
You know, I didn't do a whole lot of notes because I figured the notes are sitting 2 feet from me right here.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
So you talked about, I saw that you saw David Bowie, and that's kind of what inspired this direction.
That started it.
So tell me about seeing Bowie and where and when.
Yeah, I had left Mama Lion, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And our road manager, Robbie Randall, said, "Have you heard David Bowie?" And I said, "No, not yet." And he had tickets to the Forum show for Ziggy Stardust. And he took me in. It just blew my mind. Oh. And it was just like phenomenal. So next day he comes over. He says, hey, you ought to write something like that. And I said, like this? And I picked up a guitar and I wrote Hollywood Boulevard in 5 minutes.
Oh, great.
You know,
yeah.
Based
great
on the influence of the whole Bowie thing, you know. And that started it. That mm-hmm. really started, oh, I'm going to put this band together that's going in that direction. And I auditioned people through Music Connection. I ran an ad looking for a guitar player, keyboard player. I had Timmy McGovern for drums. He was in the Velvet Turner Band on the label I was just with that I'd left.
With Mama Lion?
Yeah, he was in the Velvet Turner Band. It was like a Jimi Hendrix experience kind of band that Artie also picked up when he picked up Billy Joel in a trade with Michael Lang. This is another story. Michael Lang was so in love with Melanie.
Oh, the singer Melanie?
Yeah. Yeah.
And him and me.
Michael Lang was one of the two guys, along with Artie Cornfeld, that did Woodstock. So then he started his, I think it was Neighborhood Records, Michael Lang's label, and he just had to have Melanie, and Artie still had Melanie signed under a contract. So Artie made a deal and got money and these two acts from Michael Lang in trade for Melanie.
Oh, okay.
And the two acts were Billy Joel and Velvet Turner Band.
Wow.
And that drummer in the Velvet Turner Band, Timmy McGovern, great drummer.
Yeah.
So I got him first. And I asked him first, and then I found Timo through auditioning people. And he brought in the guy with the Chamberlain that he worked in clubs with. I guess they did a lot of...
And the Chamberlain is a Mellotron.
No, actually, Chamberlain came first, and Mellotron sent a salesman over to Europe. And when the guy got to England, they found the patents weren't covered, so they stole it. They basically
Mellotron just stole it from Chamberlain.
And eventually they had to pay a couple of million dollars or something to him. It took a long time, but he won.
Good.
No, that's
because
good.
It was blatantly an obvious copy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get the two guys, and then you mentioned Timo.
Right.
So where do you find him? And
I
then...
found him. He turned up as one of the guitar players I auditioned, and he had an Echoplex and a couple of pedals and a twin reverb and plugged in his guitar and made all of these sounds. And I thought, that's it. So I took him right in once I got the guys. I went to that little studio where I used to do all my demos for my publishing deal, where I did the two Heavy Cruiser albums, spin-offs of the Mama Lion. There was this little 8-track converted old dentist's office. And I took him in there, and we cut Hollywood Boulevard, and that was the beginning of Space Rangers. Space Rangers came from a kid's show that was on Saturday mornings way back. I'm not even going to talk about how far back it was, but I was a kid, so you can imagine.
And, so early
Saturday
70s,
show,
right?
Yeah, that's right. And sure. There was a show out of Buffalo, New York called Rocky Jones Space Ranger.
Oh, right.
And it was like one of these like soaps kind of things for kids and cardboard spaceships and stuff.
Like the old Flash Gordon serials kind of?
Yeah, this was, TV. I think it was done live. It was so good. For kids to see. Anyway, I remembered, the Space Rangers thing from the Rocky Jones Space Ranger title. So I thought that would be a good title for the album and also the band. So,
And you guys were billed as Neil Merriweather and the Space Rangers, or was it Neil Merriweather's?
When we played, it was Neil Merriweather and the Space Rangers. The albums came out as Neil Merriweather albums.
And that's because of your publishing deal, or...?
No, it's because the band went along for a while, and I paid for rehearsals. Anything I had left over from bands before that, any coin I could get my hands on, I would spend on rehearsing the band, getting the rehearsal studios. And when we jammed something out, I would write, melodies, lyrics, and turn them into songs and arrangements. And we got enough of it done for me to think, okay, we got an album's worth of stuff now. And I called Maury Lathauer up at Capitol Records, who used to work there. I met him when I was at Capitol, and he'd become the vice president. And I called him up and I said, Maury, can I get some time or something? I want you to hear this band. And he says, I'm leaving the label, but I'm going to give you studio time. So he gave me studio time at Capitol.
At the Capitol Records building?
Right. And I went in and I cut the first album in 2 nights.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
The second night, Steve Miller was down the hall cutting the Joker album. And I wanted him to come in some way, fit a harmonica solo or something into something. And he came to the studio door and, you know, I said, Steve, come on and do something. He goes, man, I'm out of it, man. And he had just lost his wife left his wife, left him or something. And his label deal was up. It was his 7th year. So he thought I'm dropped and I'm going to go to Hawaii and lay on a beach. And
boy,
you know,
little did he know.
And
huh?
He was like really in bad shape emotionally, you know. I love Steve, and he was just burned out. And the album he made up of some old takes and some new things, and I think even Lonnie, the bass player, is on one of those tracks. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if Boz is on one of those tracks he used, but he scraped the Joker album together, and they put it out there, and it started getting airplay, and then they saw they had a hit. And they re-signed Steve, gave him $1 million unrecoupable, and he wound up making a deal where he got everything back after a while. So he owns everything that he has.
Good for him.
Wow.
Yeah, it's too bad that record didn't sell. Thing.
Yeah. That put him through the roof, put him on the map.
Yeah, man.
And then he started playing with some friends of mine, and some of them are still with him to this day.
That's great.
Yeah, man.
I just saw him. Kat and I went, and we got backstages, of course, because it's Steve. And we saw him at the Joint.
In Vegas?
Yeah, the Joint. And I've seen him before a few times, but he's honed it. I mean, it's perfect show.
Ryan, we got that album cover somewhere. Now,
yes,
this is
right
an
here.
Iconic album cover, right?
I mean, to me it is, yes.
I mean, come on.
Look, yeah.
You hold this fucker in your hands. And that just, I mean, come on, dude.
Don Rico, who did the cartooning, was Captain America. He did Captain America comics.
Yeah, yeah.
So we found Don Rico, and he did the characters. And I did this hoop design, like, on the first album, because back then, remember, they used to cut corners sometimes? Like, the Traffic album had corners
right,
cut
yes.
off?
Right, yes.
Well, it was supposed to be rounded out on the top, so all the albums looked like a dome shape.
Oh, wow.
But the label was so cheap.
Mercury.
And my deal was so bad because my manager was just the worst that I never got the snippet thing done to the top.
Oh, no
that's
shit.
What it was supposed to be.
Because
yeah.
that's going to cost a little extra
right.
meal,
that's
isn't
right.
it?
Yeah. It's going to cost 20 cents per, I don't know,
unit.
50,000 units? I don't know, 20
now,
cents?
You flip this fucker over, right? And you got that. Same thing. Great. I mean, okay,
cool.
Great. Look at
live
that.
Live shot of him.
Are you kidding me? A
real
studio,
shot of him. Studio shot.
Portrait yeah. type shot. But I got to ask you.
Okay.
When you're doing the photo shoot, and we says Jamie?
Yeah, that's Jamie with his girlfriend's clothes on.
You're thinking, yeah. And right, okay.
They looked at Bowie, and they looked at all the new trend and the New York Dolls, and I didn't tell them how to dress. I didn't care. Look at me. I had some kind of gold.
You look badass on here. Are you kidding?
That's a gold-type suit I had made by, what is that famous thing with all the models now? Victoria's Secret. The first store
on La Cienega.
Were the seamstresses that made that outfit.
I think you guys are great. And I'm not saying, but I just went, oh, all right. You know? I mean,
only wore it for that.
No, you look great. Jamie's shorts are a little, I was just wondering about that.
We were
always
confused
wondered, that
if
was,
the blue tights and the purple shorts, or if that's a dress. Or
No, it's blue tights and shorts.
You know, it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's fucking badass.
We have wondered about
it's like,
that.
It was like weird, and sometimes they get referred to us as a glam rock band only because of the photo. Because when we finally went out to play, it was back to jeans, and you know, Willis still had the suits with the stars down the legs and stuff. But I think I wore a brown corduroy jacket with some little green rhinestones on it. That was the most flamboyant I got.
This is, to me, one of the most identifiable album covers in the history of rock. Like, no shit. No shinola, man. I mean, that's right there, buddy.
So how do you, the first album comes out, which is just called Space Rangers, and then a year goes by, and then this album comes out. So do you guys tour on the first album?
Here's what happens.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh.
Okay, let me touch on the album covers, okay? The album cover, the first one, I found a poster in a junk shop. just like Lennon found the poster for
Mr. Kite.
Or yeah, 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 for the circus, the, mm-hmm. the whole
Benefit of Mr. Kite. Yeah,
yeah. I found Satan Satellite's poster. It was an old serial from the movie days that would run on Saturday afternoon.
That's a cool name for a band too, by the way.
Right,
three bands already we got.
So I took the lettering style and I made it into Space Rangers. And on the first album, did the hoop thing. The back of that album was the poster, and I thought, well, I'm done with the poster, so let's take the poster, and I painted over the poster and put all the flaming on the back and spliced in a couple of the rockets and took them, you know, the robot. And
I love the robot. Yeah.
And the planet is a microscopic shot of the human brain, like a chunk of human brain.
That really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. I always thought it was an eyeball. Metaphorically.
Your eyeballs after a night, hard night of party.
Yeah. They're all attached.
The guy needs to drink more.
Anyway, yeah, so that covered my idea with the hoop that was supposed to be cut out on the top corners. That's what I wanted to do for all of my albums. The third one, I had these cyclopsy-looking eyeball creatures, and the hoop was going to be a different color.
Third one?
Yeah.
There's a third one?
No, we never did it, but we did get back together not too long ago with Willis and Jamie and me, and we did do some. So there would be bonus cuts when I re-release these two albums as a double.
Oh, is that in the works?
That's what I want to do.
These are such great bookend albums, though, much like the Heavy Metal Kids, you know, the Kids album and the mm-hmm. Anvil Chorus. Those are two albums that you have to have. If you have one, you have to have them both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's they really do bookend really, really well together in that style that you were in at the time, and you know the whole image of it. Not only that, but musically speaking, they just really, to me, it's just the one big set of records that you have to have, like you know, those two, like the first three Blue Oyster Cult albums, the Black and White period,
right?
Boom, boom, boom. You know, they go well together, and it just really defines what that was. You know,
so what happens then after between the two albums that lead us up to Kryptonite?
Okay, we do that album. I get a crappy deal. I got a crappy manager. Robbie Randall, the road manager guy, was friends of Skip Taylor, who produced Can't Eat and stuff.
Okay.
And he had an office in Hollywood, and he went and played the tapes from those sessions I did at Capitol for him. And his brother was sitting there, and his brother had a conniption, you know. This is the greatest thing I ever heard. They got a manager. So Robbie says, this guy wants to manage you. And I thought, well, he's connected to, you know, that name thing there, and he must know somebody. So he goes to, by that time, the band had wandered off and folded. So it was just me with the tapes. And he took him to Mercury, and Mercury signed me, but the deal was so cheap. It was like a horrible deal, but enough for me to put a band together, enough of an advance when I delivered the tapes. And I did that. And, you know, like I said, I found Willis, the guitar player, through a girlfriend's sister, and that was her boyfriend, and he was great, 17 at the time, before we did the album.
Jesus.
And I got Timmy back, the drummer, and I found Jamie, who played the Chamberlain. I found a Chamberlain. Sonny and Cher broke up, and they had one.
Oh, wow.
So I was able to get theirs for a couple of grand, which was amazing, you know.
So it's Sonny and Cher's Chamberlain on the record?
Yeah, so
that's amazing.
So Cher, what do you think about that Chamberlain sound? Do you miss that Chamberlain that Neil Merriweather bought from you?
No, not that much. It was taking up too much room in the living room.
Yeah. Oh, so you were glad to see it go.
Yeah.
When Sonny stood beside it, I couldn't see him, you know.
I've been out Cher doing Cher's.
She's so tall. Look at that big. She looks like she's tall. She looks like she's tall and everything, but she isn't in real life. I got Cher stories for you.
Oh, okay. Bring it
give
on.
Give us one.
Yeah.
Okay. Around that time, again, Robbie Randall like set up a thing through a friend on Laurel Canyon for me to do a writing thing with Greg Allman. So I saw Greg, and he says, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it next, you know. And he gave me a day, and I went there, and where's Greg? Well, Greg was doing a Greg thing in the washroom. And
what does that mean? Well, oh, always going to the bathroom?
You know what I mean. I mean, he was like into certain drugs at the time.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
That he wasn't,
or having a wank.
No, but he wasn't supposed to be, because he was with Cher, and she put him through rehab or something and threatened that if he ever went did it again, it would be a drag. So when you know, for him, it would be over for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he comes out of the washroom and he sees me seeing him coming out of the washroom.
Like, oh shit!
So it didn't happen.
Oh, right,
you know,
right.
We didn't get to do what we were planning on doing, and I couldn't get him again because he was afraid that if he started hanging around and Cher found out, because I was witness to this thing, it would be a bad thing. So not too long after that, I was at the Forum, Alvin Bishop and the Allman Brothers, and I'm sitting on, they had these little stage seats set up behind the band when they played. And I'm sitting there, and Cher's two seats down, and they're running through, like, their hits. I think they were doing Ram and Gamble, man. The crowd's going crazy, and she's filing her nails. Everybody's moving to the beat, and she's sitting there filing her nails.
Disinterested.
The soul just overcame me.
Well, you gotta look good.
You gotta look taller than you are. You gotta pretend you're an Indian, and you gotta
half-breed. That's all I ever heard.
And then here's another story. I'm at this some debut of a movie, like a preview showing in Westwood, and it just so happened, and I was with this guitar friend of mine, and we were sitting right behind Cher, and either a lawyer or an agent, I don't know, the guy was a suited type guy, and she had on an afro, you know, she had an afro, and I'm a nervous guy, you know, I'll admit, I even bite my fingernails, you know, ever since, I think when they pulled me out, I was, what's the kid
gumming,
doing, you don't
gumming
have to
your
slap
nails.
Him, he's wide awake, anyway, so I'm sitting behind her, and I, this habit of, when I had popcorn, I'd take the napkins, and I'd make little round balls. And usually I just throw them in the empty popcorn thing. And I started flicking them into her hair. And through the whole movie, I'm rolling little balls and throwing them into her afro. So I said to my friend, we got to rush out to the lobby. And he said, why? Well, what are we rushing for? I said, come on, come on. And we got out there before they got out there. And I said, wait, watch this. So she comes out into the light with this guy she's with. And the guy looks at her and goes, what's that in your hair? And she goes, what do you mean? And she starts doing this. And these little tiny white balls are falling all over the place. It was hysterical. Like a bad dandruff.
I remember that. That was very embarrassing for me.
I don't know where they came from. I blame the wig guy.
Kind of look like that a little
bit,
I imagine.
I wasn't with Sonny for years, and I blamed him. Like, and I blame Greg. I blame them all. Because I'm an Indian.
Share stories.
And I know Double Bill.
Double Bill.
All right, well, we're going to play Give It Everything We Got.
Oh,
that's what my
on.
Choice
yeah.
off of that record. But a fantastic, just ripping song. Great guitar work by Michael Willis on this, right?
Yeah.
The whole ending
He's
18, sequence.
I guess. I kept saying he was 17, but I met him when he was 17, and he was an 18 when we did this record. This record came quickly after the first one because I needed another input of cash, so we just did it. The label didn't even know we were doing it. I went into Village Recorders, and I cut it in five days.
Again?
Made it up on the spot. And then I handed it in, and they gave me my measly money so I could keep the band alive, you know. But I couldn't pull that again. And the manager was horrible. That's another story.
All right.
And he lives here. I think he lives in Phoenix. Oh,
he lives here at Shabby Road. He's fallen on hard times. All right, go ahead and drop the needle on Give It Everything We Got from Neil Merriweather, Space Rangers, Kryptonite. Let's hear this thing.
to get what we need. Yeah, we're gonna drill holes and bury our seeds and watch it grow, watch it grow. And we'll all learn a little more about life and how to live it. So we give it everything that we got to give it and more. Give it everything we got, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Classic. A Savvy Road favorite for sure, and the man is sitting 2 feet from me. That's Neil Merriweather's Space Rangers from the Kryptonite album, 1974? Five. Thank
yeah.
you. See? I didn't need to do any research. He's
That's
right
great.
Here.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
What do you got, buddy?
Steven Seaborn,
right.
It's your turn, brother.
I'm going to give you an opportunity here to offend two countries.
Oh, excellent.
I don't think Fantastic.
I don't think you've offended either of these. You can see here the custom sticker. This cleared through Belgium. Have you taken on Belgium yet?
Oh.
What the fuck they sound like?
I don't know what they sound like.
Well, you know why you don't know what they sound like? Because
they're German.
No, well, they're very unique. They don't have their own language, okay?
Okay.
They speak three...
Well, there you go. The offense has already taken place. AD thinks it's like in the darkest parts of Africa.
Waste no time.
They speak three different languages there. They speak French, German, and Dutch. Okay, just depending upon where you are in the country, how close you are to the borders of those other countries, odds are that's the language you speak.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
God. That would fuck
yeah,
you up.
Yeah, but much like Otto... That has nothing to do with this band. That's just where this that is just where this package cleared customs.
We love random around here.
Perfectly random.
There's a head fake okay. if I've ever seen one.
And because well, I bring up Otto because when I was putting together the archive list, okay, because I did my episode first because then I set that as the template for mm-hmm. all the other entries.
Just to set that up. You've created a spreadsheet, which we're going to post on our website at some point. I got to figure out just how to get it. It's an archive of every record ever played on the Shabby Road Record Show.
Not to mention that, but who we played the most and how, who, like red or black, who went first and all these little other side bits.
Oh, yeah. Which artist and all that stuff.
Yeah, the
and
that's year, just, of, and year of release, everything. Yeah.
That's the, I mean, thank you so much for doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Oh, that was,
Liz,
seriously.
Liz
it was
has had one. AD, you've had one, but they're sort of incomplete until you sort of put it all together for us and, yeah. and for our listeners, because we've had people ask us. If there is such a thing, if after all these episodes, 119 of them now, you know, that's a lot to go through. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah,
that's a lot
you.
Of well, work.
We should charge $5
for copies.
Oh, Jesus, listen to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, like Blue Oyster Cult for their
Gene
lyrics.
Simmons. Yeah, yeah, right.
Gene
yeah, used to have to send in for Blue Oyster Cult's lyrics.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Self-addressed stamped envelope. And yeah, we should do that. Everybody's going, that lady's such a dick.
But I had.
We wouldn't do that.
I had lived with this false assumption that I had been on the longest episode. Okay. I thought, because it was like 2 hours, 10 minutes, and whatever. And then when I'm entering all these times and all the other data for the shows, Otto's episode beat me by 90 seconds. Okay.
Is that all it was?
90 seconds. But that's because he spent all that time telling about albums he wasn't.
It was.
That he didn't bring.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, you yeah. pulled out the Otto tactic.
Let me tell you something. Otto beat you by way more than 90 seconds because I did a significant amount of editing.
You edited out a lot from the show I was on too because
right.
there were things I was waiting to hear and it just didn't make the cut.
The longest show would have been Neil Merriweather's episode because that that was had to have been 3 hours.
On some parallel universe, we're still talking to Neil Merriweather.
Yeah.
All right. So I told you I had a theme and this is another horrible band name.
Excellent.
And this is also the song for the guitarist in the room for...
Liz played guitar?
For Ryan.
All right.
I brought... You know who this is?
It's an eyeball. I don't know who that
it's
is.
It's a crying eyeball.
The name of the band is Airbag.
What?
Airbag.
I've got a band called Front Left Fender.
That was already taken, apparently.
Right, yeah.
This is Airbag.
A title search on that.
Airbag.
This is Airbag.
Airbag.
That's the name of, that's my nickname. It's my love name for my ex.
Well.
Airbag, make me a grilled fucking cheese.
That's why she's your ex.
Hey, Airbag, you stinking up the bathroom.
Hey, Airbag.
I'm crying.
Lord and them gonna be here in 5 minutes.
I'm crying.
Get
more.
Out of the damn bathroom.
Why don't you sweep the bugs off the floor, Airbag?
I'm crying more at this than I was the sad song by Front.
Yeah, what's sadder?
Reasons why you're single.
Oh. Airbag! Airbag before you go out. Don't forget lottery tickets.
Not the $2 ones, the $1 ones. Jesus, airbag. Do I have to get...
Scratchers, airbag. Shit.
Could you only
do this for the next half hour?
Could you only be called airbag if you were south of the Mason Dixon? Is that what it is?
Yeah, okay. It's better that way.
Okay. Couldn't have a Boston accent.
It doesn't. No. Airbag.
It doesn't work with
airbag,
a Canadian
please
accent.
Sweep the bugs off the floor. It doesn't insist that it has to, you know.
Uns die airbag. Uns come on.
Airbag. Fur bag. Hey, fur bag. Okay.
Terrible accent.
No, I think it's better Southern. Okay. What do you think?
I think it's better Southern, yeah.
What do you guys think out there? Write in.
Yeah, sorry.
Send us your best hey airbag jokes. That'd be awesome.
Please.
Yeah. Try Canadian.
All right.
So
airbag. Airbag. Okay. Make me a toque.
Airbag. Pass the maple syrup. Okay, just go. Don't forget to pick up the bats. Go, please, before we alienate every country in the United States.
Okay.
Every country in the United States.
All 50 of them.
All 50 countries in the United States.
Oh, we're loving it.
So it's safe to say you've never heard of airbag.
Hell, I'll marry her. Are you fucking kidding? Had four toothless babies with that hoe.
Okay. No, I haven't.
No. I heard of airbag. toothless babies. Aren't all babies toothless?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes. Okay. Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
All toothless babies born in the countries of the United States.
Checking, yes.
Okay. That will make airbag will make it into next year's t-shirt.
Yeah.
All right. So the aforementioned airbag.
You cannot do this. Wait.
Oh my God. It's gonna be funny for now.
We might break Otto's record if we go at this rate.
Okay, so we're saying
they hail from Oslo, Norway.
From Norway.
From Norway. Have you insulted Norway?
No, it's Sweden, maybe.
Yeah, because when you did Imperial State Electric, you took on.
Did we?
You took on Sweden.
I'm thinking Vikings. I'm sort of Vikings. Vikings.
Some. Oh. This is not.
With the big horns, big wings on her helmet. Yeah.
Swedes don't yodel.
Lady.
Swedes don't yodel. I think we got the title of the.
We just found the title.
Swedes don't yodel.
Oh, this is completely derailed. Isn't it fantastic?
Oh, God. I'm actually sweating because I'm laughing so hard.
Hey, airbag, can you get my friend a towel? So we're talking about airbag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
From Oslo, Norway. They formed while they were in high school, but they really don't consider their start date until 2005. And this is their first album. It's called Identity. It came out in 2009.
Okay.
Now, they're really kind of run by two guys, and I'm not sure I'm correct on the pronunciation of either name, but the guitarist and the main songwriter is Bjorn Riis, but it's R-I-I-S.
Oh, that's Risa. Bjorn Risa.
Oh, thank you.
Ah.
And then the singer, who also does the producing and some of the writing, is Asle, A-S-L-E, Tastrup.
Tastrup.
No. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that.
Plunder.
Plunder.
Rape.
Pillage.
Village, plunder.
We're getting to that.
Then on bass, you have Anders Haven.
Anders Haven, pillage. Ah.
Drums, you have a Joachim Slyker.
Dwight.
Yoko.
Dwight Yoakam.
Yoakam. Yoakam. And keyboards, you have Jorgen Hagen.
Ah, Jorgen Hagen, my favorite ice cream.
That's ice cream, yeah.
Jorgen Hagen. Yeah. Oh, all right.
Originally, these guys, they were a Pink Floyd tribute band.
Okay. Okay, so let's see.
And it'll be abundantly clear.
Okay. Ah, ding yes. away.
Yeah, and especially the guitarist. I mean, you can say guys like, you know, Robin Trower, Frank Marino, you tell that they worship Hendrix.
Yeah.
But this guy, he sits at the altar of David Gilmour.
That's a good altar to sit at.
You will think this is Gilmour playing.
Really?
Wow.
Yes. Yes. Because the last 3 minutes of this song, it's just all guitar solo.
Okay, I'm in.
And it's great. It's there comfortably numb.
Nice.
And that's why I asked if I could go last with this song.
It's called Numferably Cum. I did.
I'm editing that out.
Liz is now editing. Numferably Cum. Okay, go. Sorry.
Okay, where was I?
You were numferable at the
right
time.
Numferable.
Yes, we're getting numferable.
And that's why I had requested to go last, because Comfortably Numb, that is a song Pink Floyd ends their concerts with, you know?
Right, yeah. It's classic.
So, if you'd like to open this up, this is another one. Ooh. I have no idea what the packaging is like.
All right.
This is their first album, and they have...
Sealed.
They've put
Sealed
out three tight. Others since.
Another brand new record. This is quite a treat.
And that is on Charisma Records, but that's with a K.
Oh, a new Charisma.
I was going to say Charisma was an old label that Genesis was
sure
on.
Sure, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Is this a gate? Oh, they shoved two records into a single, into a single thing.
Ah, cheap Norwegians.
Come on.
They don't have enough paper.
And then it's just a white label with a red teardrop on it, and you don't know what's what.
That's weird.
Well, I guess I should have watched how I pulled those out.
Bastard Vikings.
Or I could get my glasses on.
There's no other marking on the label?
Oh, there is a marking. There's one dot by the tier, and then there's two dots by the tier.
Okay, and three and four.
Dots by the tier.
Oh, clever. It's in code.
All right.
It's in fucking code. Viking code.
Okay, all right.
West Coast.
All right, airbag. What else you got?
So, like I said, both of these songs are about relationships. And now, the Wretched Soul song, that was... him telling her, get away from me, okay? This guy is saying, well, the lyrics to this are, if it's all the same to you, I think I'm giving up, but I won't go that far, just enough to make you sad, and the sounds that I hear are heading down the stairs, the memories we had are all left behind. So to me, I take it as he's just telling her, he's checked out, the relationship's over, and all they have is their memories, that's it.
Oh, I took. He grabbed her by her Viking chick ass hair and threw her down the steps.
She did.
You need to see somebody,
right?
Anchor.
You need to see somebody. I don't know who.
Right?
See the chick.
Is that what you
K?
Got out of that list?
Who
did you? Right?
No. See somebody.
What's the stairs have to do with it?
He's
leaving. Wait, read that line again. You tell me. Come on. Read that line again.
With the mind, does he grab her by her Viking hair?
Viking ass hair, I believe.
And the sounds that I hear are heading down the stairs.
Right? That's right?
The memories we had are all left behind.
Done.
Well, no,
done.
He's walking down the stairs. Upstairs is the bedroom.
Right.
That's where the memories are.
We can't throw her upstairs, can you?
Not the Viking chicks I've seen. This has gone off the fucking rails.
We've now offended Norway.
Yeah.
Oh, officially. Norway. Yes.
Officially, yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, Norway.
They kind of did a Lucifer's Run to me, this band. Where, you know, that first Lucifer's Run album, it's great.
It's amazing.
Mean, it is.
Yeah.
It is one of my 10 favorite albums of all time.
Boom.
It'll never slip out. It'll always be in the top 10.
I'm in.
This was my album of the year. This came out in 2009. But the problem is, the next three albums, it's just a lot of the same thing rehashed.
Oh, okay.
You know, they didn't...
grow or...
they didn't grow, yeah.
AC/DC, anyone?
Yeah.
AC/DC kind of thing.
But if you're doing this kind of thing and you lean towards prog or sort of progressive elements, you do need growth.
That's what the genre implies, yeah. Right. Progress.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. We play stationary rock.
Stagnant Rock.
Stagnant Rock. Stagnant. Yeah. What's your next album?
Repetitive.
Well, we've already planned our next 15 records.
This so, next record's called Stalemate.
The next one's called Same.
And, the third record's called See First
I'm
Two.
Sure you've heard our Ditto live record. Ditto. It's fantastic. You know what? Actually, we re-released it
yes,
a year later.
Yeah. Yeah. Remixed with one new word. Yeah. We encourage our audience to find it.
Why do they have English accents?
I don't know. I don't even know what that was. Okay.
All right. So it's the last song. So it's the last song on side four, The Sounds That I Hear.
Yep. That would be the four dots, Ryan.
Four dots.
Four dots, yes.
By the tear.
Yeah.
Read that lyric again one more time.
Okay.
Now listen, you guys. Seriously, listen.
Throwing her down the
stairs? No, listen. Come on, seriously.
You want the full verse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If it's all the same to you, I think I'm giving up, but I won't go that far, just enough to make you sad. And the sounds that I hear are heading down the stairs. The memories we had are all left behind.
Dude. Right?
He's throwing her down a flight of stairs.
That's a sound. Dunk, 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 dunk.
That's her head chopped off. It's rolling down the stairs.
Or whatever. Or
wow,
all,
that's
or
very
all
Conan
her.
The Barbarian of you.
See, I didn't even go that far.
It's a ponytail.
God, Steve. I appreciate you making me look good. That doesn't happen
Jesus
that often.
Christ, that's hard to do, isn't
that's
it?
That's hard to do, my friend.
It's a miracle worker.
Oh, God.
If it's all the same to you, many years will pass us by, somewhere in this room, we just disappear. And
The sounds that I hear from Airbag.
2009.
Hey! Don't.
No, not.
That was cool, man. That had a clear Pink Floyd,
yeah,
David Gilmour.
Yeah, they were not hiding it.
But the voice was there, too. There was another technique that they employed in that, and that's that B3 that kind of churns up during the guitar solo that I was like, any guy that's playing sort of Pink Floyd solo and hears a B3 kind of just sort of
The volume pedal swells.
Sidle up next to them. You're just like, this is fantastic. Yeah, I'm sure that guitar player is in hog heaven with that behind him.
Yeah, and actually he's put
hog heaven. Hey, Airbag, don't you forget to fucking feed them hogs. Hand me my tooth.
I like how your eyes get as big as saucers when you do that voice.
You have to become
that. That's the best part.
Become that guy.
Sometimes I do wish this was a video podcast.
I'm pantsless. Are you kidding?
So just hand me my tooth. That's a one tooth denture.
Yes, yes, yes. Airbag. Oh, shit. Hand me my tooth, Airbag.
Hey, guys. A portion of the Shabby Road Record Show is brought to you by alltheworldsastage.net. For all your bands and company merchandise needs, click on alltheworldsastage.net and never pay screen charges for orders of more than 24 items. There are no PMS or flash charges either. Mention Shabby Road Record Show and you'll receive 10% off on your order. alltheworldsastage.net.